welcome to the Corporate Life Podcast. My name is Hina Siddiqui and I loved and hated my corporate jobs for years. This podcast is going to empower you to go high on your career without losing yourself. I invite you to join me each week as you will hear real cool stories of the real cool corporate people doing real things in the corporate world. And the experiences and advice can change your story too. Hey, how are you? I'm Hina Siddiqui and you are listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. Today, I'm gonna interview someone who reminds me of that world famous book by Robin Sharma, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. And before I tell you the why behind it, let me tell you a secret that I'm sharing for the first time ever in my life with you beautiful folks. I loved this book and got so much inspired that I began frequently going to meditation camps where I'm strictly unreachable with no phone, no technology, just nothing. Now you may have the question, why am I talking about all this just before introducing my guest today? Have some patience, you'll know in a second as soon as I start talking about Jeff Rasley. Jeff built a successful career in law and business and was the senior partner in a small firm and a millionaire by the time he was 40. And he was a very involved husband and father of two children. He had a great life. But in his 40s, he began manifesting midlife crisis symptoms. He already had a sports car and a Harley, but those toys did not help. He seemed to need something beyond family, life, career, and financial good fortune. The existential angst he felt by not having an answer to, is that all there is, began to shake the foundations of the good life he had. The cure suggested by his wife was to go trekking in the Himalayas and to reconnect with the adventurous and more spiritual self he had lost in the pursuit of success. Her therapy eventually worked. After that first trek to Mount Everest, he returned to the Himalayan region 14 times. Oh my gosh. He took more time off work and adopted a more spiritual and meditative approach to life as advocated by the friends he made in Nepal. He wrote several articles about travel experiences from a spiritual perspective. He also began leading philanthropic treks, which combined visiting Nepal with culturally sensitive development work. That led to the creation of the Basa Village Foundation, which serves a remote area of the Nepal Himalayas. That's wonderful. We would learn more about his adventures and the beautiful philanthropics from Jeff himself in just a second. And I'm loving this concept, philanthropics, by the way. Jeff is an author of 11 books and more than 80 articles. His 10th book, You Have to Get Lost Before You Can Be Found, a memoir of suffering, grit, and love of the Himalayas and Basa Village, describes the experiences he had in the Himalayas. Jeff has given many talks to civic, religious, and social organizations in central Indiana and Chicago about this theme and has appeared as a guest on over 100 radio and podcast shows. Wow, I'm super excited to welcome Jeff on the show. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Hina. Good to be with you. And I must add, the second time I went to the Himalayas was to your country, India. Mm-hmm. And it was my first actual mountain climb. It's the first time I came over, as you mentioned, I trekked on the Everest Base Camp Trail. But after that, I wanted to become a climber. And so climbed a mountain with a group. The mountain is called Kangla Chen. And it was maybe the most difficult experience I'd ever had in my life up to that point.
Wow, that's wonderful. And Jeff, your story is really inspirational. And as you found your answers after experiencing midlife crisis, I'm sure that a lot of people in their 40s and 50s will relate to this. Tell us a bit about your journey.
Oh, thank you. Well, as you know, you and I were talking before the show started, I think many people like me who are in the executive professional classes and who, you know, find their identity is very much wrapped up in what they do. I mean, like, you know, we meet each other and very shortly we're saying, so what do you do? And we're talking about your job, your profession, as if you know, that is the central thing in your life that you do. And we, and especially I think in late 20s and 30s and into the 40s, when we're building that career, we're so focused on our ambition of becoming successful, of becoming, you know, financially successful, feeling successful within our profession and achieving goals. And that tends, that focus tends to crowd out some of the more meaningful aspects of life, which we probably understood when we were younger. And hopefully we'll remember again as we get older. But in that sort of that crucial time period, which peaks for many of us about 40, which it did for me, what's, you know, called commonly a midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. And that's when we start questioning, as you put it, you know, is this all there is? Because it just, it doesn't really feel fulfilling, even when we're succeeding at it. And that's what I was experiencing. And, you know, you look at my life and you look at similar lives from the outside and you think, well, you know, how could you possibly be thinking there's anything wrong? You know, in my case, I had a, you know, wonderful, loving wife, and I just loved being a dad of two young boys. And, you know, my law practice was going great. The business side of it was succeeding. And so, wait a minute, this makes no sense. You know, that why would this guy be unhappy? I mean, how utterly selfish. But it actually isn't so much selfishness. It's in a way, it's just the opposite. It's feeling that your life has become too selfish in the sense that is self-focused on work and career and ambition. And for many of us, that leads to this feeling of, is that all there is? And, you know, there's sort of various directions you can go with that. You can go crazy. You can, you know, blow your life up, run off with your younger secretary. Luckily, my secretary was much older. you know, get a fancy car, motorcycle, and crash it, or just sort of dig down into that burrow and just keep grinding away in your career without looking up and seeing a bigger world and more meaningful things in life. And of course, I think that's the better answer, is to look up, look outside of your own ambition and striving, and see how you might grow yourself and evolve into a more artistically beautiful creation of yourself that gives more to the rest of the world than just, you know, doing your job and earning money.
Yeah, I understand that. And totally agree with it. And there's a wonderful quote by Bill Gates, I think, after you make $1 million is the same hamburger. Life is much more than what we keep chasing for.
Yeah. You know, having financial freedom and financial success is it's a really wonderful thing. Yeah. Because it does give you the freedom to experience more in life, but it also gives you the opportunity to help other people who are less fortunate than you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Jeff, would you like to share with us your adventures in the Himalayas? We are very eager to know that.
Well, like you said in the introduction, it was really my wife's idea, which was to help me break out of that midlife crisis. Because adventure travel had always been really important to me. I mean, when I was a teenager, I hitchhiked across the U.S. and then I spent half a summer going to college in England and traveled all over Europe. And It just traveling. I always loved traveling. And because I was, you know, so focused on building the law practice, I had really restricted how much travel and especially sort of adventure travel I'd been doing. And so my wife, Alicia, recognized I really needed to do that. And so I went over to Nepal, had just this amazing, wonderful experience hiking the base camp trail, visiting remote Sherpa villages. That was in 1995. And by then, there was a fair amount of commercial development along the base camp trail. Sherpas, you know, developed lodges and tea houses and so forth. And so that many of them were no longer just yak herders, but there were still villages that were, you know, pretty undeveloped. And I really enjoyed getting to meet and being around those people who live such just really tough, hardy lives. But as Sir Edmund Hillary described them as the strongest and kindest people in the world, and the high mountain people, not just the Sherpas, but other ethnic tribal groups I met, had this very, you know, so many of them had this very sweet personality, just endearing. And and I also found the culture, the Buddhist culture, and also just the animistic culture of some of the other groups really interesting and wise. And so I wanted to go back, but also, you know, continuing with that adventurous approach, I wanted to learn how to climb mountains. So I took a couple climbing courses, and then 2 years later came to India with a group led by a famous American climber named John Roskelly, and of course, Sherpa guide, Tsering, and, you know, with a great deal of trouble, but did eventually make it to the summit of this 20,300 foot high mountain called Kanglachen. And it was so tough, and I got frostbite in three toes, and okay, well, that's enough. I'll never do that again. And then a year later, I was back in Nepal, and after a couple more times was organizing and leading groups myself. And I started doing little philanthropic projects. Like, I made connections with an orphanage and a school and a women's group. And so I would raise a little bit of money, a couple thousand dollars from friends, and I would bring as much as I could carry, you know, maybe 50 pounds of clothing and school materials, school supplies. And over time, that evolved into a foundation, a 501c3, you know, IRS recognized charity, and the Basa Village Foundation, which has a sister foundation in Nepal. And so together, our two foundations have been doing development projects focused on this one particular area called Basa. You know, we were incorporated in 2008, I believe, or around then. But anyway, so it's been, you know, quite a few years.
That's beautiful.
It's very satisfying, and has, you know, brought a lot of other people into introducing them to the Himalayan region, and introducing them to the local culture, which has also been very satisfying.
Yeah, that's really, really beautiful, and you are doing such a great job. So, Jeff, we'll stop here for a short break. See you in just a bit.
Okay.
When it comes to looking for a job, most people get it wrong. They would keep on using their one and only resume to apply for any and every open job position in their industry without getting clear on what's right for them. They would avoid correct and targeted networking and stay dependent on job sites. And the truth is that over 70% of jobs are never posted on job boards or job websites. Plus the wrong and scarcity mindset and lack of self-belief, and this is huge. But unfortunately, most job seekers don't deal with this. And no wonder that they keep on struggling with their job hunt, and most of them will make a compromise by accepting just any random job because they want money to pay the bills, which is a valid reason. If that's you, come join me on my job search coaching program where I guide you through with the right strategy, your mindset upgrade, which is about 80% in all my programs, and taking inspired and focused consistent action. You may book a free strategy call with me. Find the link on the episode page. So Jeff, there's a question that I would love to ask you, as most people will benefit from your answer. It's like, how do people know that they are experiencing midlife crisis? What symptoms do they show? And is it easy to see them? Or I mean, are they clear and visible?
Hmm. Yeah, you know, the term we often use along with midlife crisis is existential crisis. And I think that really is a useful term, because there's a sense of questioning the meaning of my existence. You know, what is my life for? What value do I have? And we generally think of value as giving from ourselves to the wider community. And so I think the sort of the fundamental symptom is a feeling of, I'm just so focused on myself in terms of work, you know, especially work, but ambition, financial success, and that just doesn't feel meaningful anymore. I think for many of us who are ambitious and, you know, who want to attain success in the early stages, it does feel fulfilling because it's very challenging. I mean, to succeed in business or in a profession, it's difficult. And, you know, you have to work hard. And if you find yourself succeeding, it's exciting. And there's a, you know, sort of a, like a, it's sort of a drug, but like drugs, it has its downside.
Yeah.
It has, you know, side effects that are not healthy.
Yeah.
When you start noticing those side effects, just being kind of grumpy for no apparent reason, feeling annoyed, feeling irritated, when over minor things, I think those are symptoms. But the real, the essence of it is just that, is this all there is? You know, all of a sudden realizing that, you know, this isn't completely fulfilling. There has to be more than that. Because I think human beings are just, they're more complex than just being able to be satisfied with having enough stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, having things you like and enjoy, that's great. But if that's all your life is about, it's pretty narrow and selfish.
Yeah, right. And Jeff, what should we do when we find ourselves in this condition? What's the way out?
Go trekking in the Himalayas.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the wonderful way. But that works for, I think, each one of us. But most of the people would not be very comfortable in going trekking or anything of that. Is there anything that they can do without, you know, being this much adventurous and go trekking?
Yeah, I really think that what it requires is, number one, some deep self-reflection. To be introspective and to recognize that there is more to your life than just your profession and your financial ambitions and your financial success. And, you know, you have to take time and really look inwardly to understand that, because the drug, the appeal of being able to get more things and have more money and have more success, it's very powerful. Yeah. But if you're finding that, you know, somehow it just doesn't feel right and you're questioning, is that all there is, then it's really time to become introspective. And I think it's really wise to take time away, to break out of whatever your normal routine is. And so, I mean, I do think some kind of travel and putting yourself into a different environment, maybe a different culture, a different place, being around different people for some period of time, and to allow yourself that period of inner reflection to get to know yourself better and what would be truly fulfilling. Maybe you'll discover in that period of time, or maybe it's just, you know, another stop along the journey that is your life, and you'll come out of that period of reflection with some greater wisdom. But it doesn't stop there either. I mean, just recognizing, oh, I want to do more with my life than just be a doctor, be a lawyer, be an executive, and make a lot of money. Okay, so what else is there? And I think then when you reach that stage, you can begin to start thinking and looking around about what can I do to have a more significant impact on my community in the world. And that is where, you know, I think philanthropy, charity, being involved in volunteer acts and giving away some of the fruits of your efforts, the money that you've made to help other people who are less fortunate and who need a hand to be lifted up. At least for me, that was the sort of the phases that I went through, and, you know, came out feeling like I had found kind of a dual meaningful new aspect in my life, new feature in my life, which I labeled philanthro trekking, which was combining trekking with doing philanthropy. But, you know, it doesn't have to be trekking, and you don't even have to necessarily combine it with some fun activity. Although if you can put those two things together, it's a wonderful, powerful combination, you know, to find a way to be doing something you really enjoy. And at the same time, coupling it with something that gives to other people. Because it's like, what better way is there to enjoy life? Feeling like you're giving selflessly to other people, and at the same time, you're getting to do something that you really enjoy.
Yeah, that's so true. That's really true. That's fabulous too. And Jeff, is there a way our listeners can help your mission? And if we can do something that can help the beautiful work that you are doing?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, the Bassa Village Foundation has a website, www.bassa.org. I have a website also, which has links to the Bassa Foundation and also to trekking and mountaineering in the Himalayas. And it's my full name, which is Jeffrey, Jeffrey Rasley. So that's the, you know, full name for the website. So, and you can, if you Google my name, you'll find me because of the articles and books I've written.
Yeah, right. Great, fantastic. And we are going to include that information on that, the website address on this episode page, so that listeners can find you on that page, like that web address, and then they can do something that they can do. Jeff, you have written 11 books, and would you please like to share a bit about those books with us?
Yeah, thanks. Well, I've, you know, been lucky enough that I didn't have to write to try to make a living. I mean, it's, you know, law was my profession. And so that's, you know, that's where I was able to have the financial freedom to do a lot of the things I wanted to do. And I've always loved writing, and I've written since I was a teenager and had a lot of articles published. And as I began the phase of moving towards retirement from law and spending less time at the office, I had time to write a full book. And the first book I wrote that was actually published was about philanthro-trekking in Nepal. And it was about how I developed from a lawyer having a midlife crisis to a trekker climber, and eventually, running a foundation in the Bassa area. So the book recounts those adventures and also the development of the Bassa Foundation. I've just written other books on a wide variety of topics. I've written a couple novels, legal thrillers, based on cases that I had, a humorous fictional novel based on playing on a football team in college that People magazine called the worst team in college ball.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, the team was made up of people who really weren't necessarily that interested in playing football, so we weren't very good, but we had a lot of fun, and there are some fairly crazy characters. Okay. It also, in a fictionalized version, recounts how I met my wife in college, and sort of our strange courting experience, me being a football player and she was sort of a feminist who wasn't exactly attracted to jocks, but somehow we managed to connect.
Okay.
The last book I wrote was actually about, it starts out relating a family history, because I had one ancestor who was at the Massacre of Wounded Knee, which is the in U.S. military history, still the worst massacre by the U.S. Army of civilians. And I had another ancestor who had a relationship with a local Native American tribe, that they were so appreciative of his effort to help them avoid starvation that they gave him this beautiful beaded vest, which I, five generations later, inherited. And so I used their stories to describe the different ways that the white settlers and Native Americans usually engaged in conflict, but occasionally found ways to make peace. And then I describe the terrible, terrible poverty of many Indian communities, Native American Indian communities on reservations, and how we could adopt the Bassa Foundation model to helping to develop those communities. And so the book is a history, but it's also an argument for the United States of America to take responsibility for how badly Native Americans have been treated, and a proposal to what we can do about it.
Awesome. I am actually getting so much inspired by what you are doing. This is really amazing. And Jeff, where can we buy your books?
They're all available through Amazon. That's the easiest way. Amazon is taking over the world.
Yeah.
which I'm not that thrilled about, but it works. And so, you can go to Amazon and put in my name and find what they call my author page, which has all the books, or go to my website, which also has links to all the books.
Right. And the listeners are going to find your books and your website information on this episode page. Jeff, you are such an amazing person, and I truly loved having this wonderful spiritual conversation with you today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Hina. It's been a delight talking to you.
So Jeff has given amazing insights to all of us today, isn't it? Tag me on Instagram and let me know your thoughts about this super inspirational episode. That's it for now. Love you guys and girls. I'll see you next week. Thank you for tuning in. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and go to my website, authorhina.com, for career-changing tools and resources. Don't forget to check out my latest book, Secrets of the Six-Figure Employee with Zero Stress. It's available on Amazon.